Jesus is coming back, to tell the world that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves them, and that he died on the cross for them. And that's a big job, amen? Too big for me and you to do. But what God has done is he has given us gifts, and it's impossible for us to do it, but he's given us gifts as individuals in the church. We can come together as a group and accomplish what God has set out there for us to do. Now, it's human nature that we overestimate our talents as individuals. We just think that we're better than what we really are a lot of times. But it's also human nature to underestimate what a group can do when everybody's pulling together. Well, we just can't do that. That's not going to happen. And so many times people have said that. And so what we've got to do is God has given us gifts. He's given you a spiritual gift, a salvation. He gave you a gift. May give you just one, may have given you two or three, but he gave you a gift to use in the work of the ministry. And our job is to do our part. You say, well, I'm not talented like so. Don't compare yourself to other people. That's a mistake. You're not talented as some other people in some areas, but they're not as talented as you in some areas. And so God has given us these gifts, and it's our responsibility to do our part. And so Psalm 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And so, folks, we need to learn to serve the Lord with gladness. Church is so much more fun when you get your heart right and you get involved and you put yourself into it and you enjoy what you're doing. Church can be fun. Now, for some of you, church is boring. Some of you are sitting there and you can't wait for church to be over. Now, there's not really that many here because this is Wednesday night. Most of those folks are on Sunday morning, but there's probably a few of you there. But church can be fun if you'll really put yourself into it. Amen? And what we have to do is, if we're born again, we're children of God, and if we will accept God's calling on our life, then he can transform us, and man, it's fun. When I was a kid growing up, church was not fun for me. I sat there, and I was, today they would have me on drugs and Ritalin and everything else. Back in those days, in the 50s and the 60s, my daddy sat there behind me and just thumped me in the back of the head to make me sit still. Now, by the time I was 8 years old, I was almost 6 foot tall, and weighed 200 and something pounds. And so all the other 6, 7, 8-year-olds are laying on the pew sleeping. And when I would try that, oh no, my dad said, you too big, that's embarrassing. Wake up, sit up, boy, you pay attention. And so he made me sit there. I couldn't wait for that service to get over. But you know what? Now I look back and it was a dry church. It was really, really was bad. So anyway, I wouldn't enjoy it much better anyway. But anyway, but we can enjoy going to church. Serve the Lord with gladness. The way to do that is we have to get involved. And there's a lot of blessings in store for us. Dee Dee will remember this. We had a little bus thing one weekend, and we had this contest, and we had all the kids' buses competing against each other. And Brother Mike, he had like 75 on his bus and had a bunch of teenagers. And I had 50 or something on my bus and some teenagers. And I don't remember what the Oviedo bus had, but Dee Dee had the least amount. They were like 30, 35 kids, and they were grade school, mostly grade school kids. And whoever wins this, at the end, wins this, their bus gets pizza. And the others have to sit and watch them eat pizza. That was the contest. And Dee Dee comes up to me and starts talking about, now, when are we going to have this pizza and when are we going to get to eat this? And y'all going to, I said, Dee Dee, you don't stand a chance. Don't even worry about it, Dee Dee. You don't have a chance. You got 30 grade school kids. You ain't got a chance against the rest of us. Well, Dee Dee got mad. She said, oh, yeah? And so she walked out. And Dee Dee started motivating her troops. Oh, they were on a mission to make a liar out of me. And so got down to the last thing was a bus pool. The old basketball court before we put the pavilion up, where the Family Life Center is, just used to be just an old asphalt court. And we got a bus out there, and we tied a rope onto it. And the deal was, who could pull the bus from the half court down to the end line the fastest, and it boiled down to that. And so Dee Dee has got, Brother Mike and my group are out there, and they're challenging. And then Dee Dee gets her group up there. And Dee Dee is standing by those kids, and here's what she's doing. She's saying one word, pizza, 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 pizza. And these second and third graders, they got excited and motivated about pizza, and they pulled that bus faster than any of the other buses. It's unbelievable. Her motivation was not to get her kids pizza. Her motivation was just to make a liar out of me. That's enough. So, but anyway, we're to serve the Lord with gladness. We get these gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're talking about spiritual abilities that God gives to us. And everybody has at least one gift. You've got some kind of gift. Now, I'm not talking about talents. That's something different. I'm talking about God has given you a gift to use in a ministry. So everybody has at least one. Some have more. But verse number 12 here says that God has given us these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so he's given us these gifts, and he expects us to use them. Now, and so the question is, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with our gifts? Are we using our gifts in the work of the ministry? Or are we just sitting back and being spectators? We need to participate. And so one of the signs of how mature we are spiritually is what we're doing with our gifts. Are we using them? Are we getting involved? Are we trying to see people saved? And so that's about verse 13 says, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we will never measure up to Jesus. We never will. Never will measure up to him. But what we can do is we can use our gifts to work in the ministry, and that gets us up a little bit higher on the scale. And we need to look for opportunities to serve. And if you don't know where to serve, you can ask God to show you. You can ask the staff. You can ask the pastor to help you. I promise you, we'll find a place of service for you if you want to serve. That's not an issue. We got plenty of places, and we need to look for opportunities. And by the way, when you volunteer to serve, don't expect to become the top dog the first day you volunteer for something, all right? We're not going to put you in charge of something until you've been around for and shown that you can do something. We have some people, they want the glory, and they want the fame, and they want to be in charge just so that people will look at them and praise them. I think the Pharisees had that problem, a pride problem. Satan had that problem, a pride problem. And so Jesus called them hypocrites for that. And so if your motive for service is just to get public recognition, to get patted on the back, to look good to others, guess what? You'll get that. But that's all you're going to get. You may get it, but you won't get nothing else. And it's gone. There's your blessing. It's gone then. And so, but we need to find a place of service. And we start with the gifts and the talents and the knowledge and the physical skills that we've already got. Maybe you can do landscaping work. Maybe you can sing. Maybe it's carpentry. Maybe it's cleaning or cooking, whatever it is. And so, it took a lot of work to get in this building. There's some guys who really worked hard the last couple of weeks. I'm not talking about the people that from the contractor, the builder. But I'm talking, we had some church members that spent several days and nights here working hard so we could get in. In fact, this Brother Mike's got a picture of two of them. Would you show them, Brother Mike? See what fun you miss when you're not here. It took a lot of work for us to get in this building, and so there was a lot of people who put themselves into it. And so we need to develop our spiritual gifts. We need folks to go soul winning, to do church visitation. We need folks to teach a Sunday school class. And God gives you a gift, and you say, well, I don't know how to do it. I can't. I have no gifts. If you'll let us, we'll help you develop them. We'll help you find your gift. We'll put you in some place, and if that, you don't like that, that doesn't work, we'll put you somewhere else until you find your gift and what your calling is. Our problem is we don't want to accept God's calling for us. We want the glory things. If I had a voice to sing, I promise you I'd be up here on stage singing. I love to sing. The only problem is nobody likes my singing. On the church bus, I can sing, and with that church bus going, especially if one doesn't have a muffler on it, man, I sound good on there. But that's what I want to be, a singer. That's what I want. But that's not my gift. That's not my talent. That's not my calling. So I got to use what God's given me, what He's called me to do, and I've got to accept that. And once you accept what God has called you to do, and you get there and you find it and you accept it and you start doing it, that's the happiest place to be in the world. You'll be so much happier. And instead of fighting against it, the wild game dinners we have, you know, there's a whole lot of work that goes in there. Man, we used to have, before we started renting the tables and chairs, there was a group of us had to go and pick up tables and chairs. And some people took off from work and came, and we would drive all over Orlando borrowing tables and chairs from different churches. And then we had all kinds of stuff. You know, the guys who do the cooking, they come out here. Brother Steve Simpkins, he's out here. He spends two or three nights out here cooking. And some of the guys stay out here for two or three nights, two or three days, just cooking all night and all day long. And there's others. And they put a lot of work into it. Amen? Remember one time early on, we planned for like 600 people. And Brother Mike said, we probably got enough food for 700, but you know, we had 500 last year, and we had, every year it kept growing, so we're shooting for 600, 650, but we got enough food maybe for 700 if we stretch it. We'll be fine. 900 people showed up that day. I didn't think that line was ever going to end. Now, here's the cool thing about it. 900 people showed up. We got food for 700. And we're all going to Brother Mike saying, Brother Mike, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We ain't got enough food for all these people. And Brother Mike saying, don't worry about it. I'm praying. This is God's problem. I ain't worrying about it. Brother Mike prayed some prayer along these lines. God, a long time ago, you fed a lot more people than this with five fishes and a piece and some bread. Can you stretch this food out to feed a couple hundred extra people? And guess what? He did. Amen? Yeah. And so we need to learn. We need to get involved. I believe there was like 96 people saved in that wild game dinner that year. We had a professional hunter here, and he said, I go to these every month. And he said, I was amazed at how calm the number of people showed up, and I was amazed at how calm and happy your people were. Your folks all kept smiling and greeting, and nobody seemed to get stressed or upset. Well, he didn't see the staff. We were stressed. But anyway, but what I'm saying is we need to find an area of service. If you'll get involved, church will be fun for you. You'll enjoy it. And if you'll accept God's calling. So I got some benefits of serving. Number one, the first benefit is it's evidence of our salvation. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The church is the body of Christ. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. And it's made, the church is made up of believers, born again believers. And Jesus wants us to touch lives. Jesus wants to touch lives. He wants to save souls. He wants to bring comfort to the weak and needy. And He needs our hands and our feet and our mouth to do that. To accomplish that, He needs us. And that's what our job is to be the hands and feet of Christ. It's our job to talk to others and to tell people that Jesus loves them and that there is hope in this life and there's hope in heaven above. And so it is our job then to spread that. And so when the Holy Spirit indwells us, we become the hands of Jesus. We become the feet of Jesus. We become the mouthpiece for Jesus. And we're His body, and He needs us to get busy for Him. Amen? Remember a few years ago I read about this. There's a boy named Austin. He was 9 years old. He was going to the hospital to have surgery. And I believe his tonsils were going to be removed. And before the surgery, the doctor came back there and was going to say, now, Austin, we got two ways of doing this. I can give you a shot now that knocks you out, or we can wait until that before you go into the surgery, and I can give you some laughing gas, some goofy gas, and that will knock you out. And Austin said, well, give me the goofy gas. I'll take the gas. And so the doctor then started to walk away, and Austin, 9 years old, said, wait a minute, doctor, can I talk to you? And Austin said, doctor, are you a Christian? And the doctor said, well, no, I probably should be, but I'm not. Well, then, do you go to church? And he said, no, I don't. I probably should, but I don't. And they talked for a minute, and then they walked out, and after a couple of hours, the doctor came out to his mother, her name was Tina, And he said, Tina, normally I don't come out and talk to the parents after a surgery like this, but I just got to tell you what your son did. When we put that mask on Austin, Austin stopped us and said, he needed to say something. And when I removed the mask, Austin blurted out, wait a minute, we have to pray. And the doctor said, okay, go ahead and pray. I thought he'd pray for me, pray for the surgery. He didn't do that. He prayed that the doctors would have a good day, the nurses would have a good day. And then he prayed for the doctor in the green frog hat that I would get saved. I just want to tell you, you got you an outstanding young man. And then he walked back in there. A few minutes later, a nurse came out and said, I got to tell you what happened. And Tina said, well, the doctor's already told me about him praying. She said, oh, no, you don't understand. There's a group of us who go to church, we're saved, and we've been talking to this doctor for years. We've been praying for him for years, and he just kept blowing us off. But after that surgery, he come up and said, well, you got me. Because if that little boy can pray for me when he's about to have surgery, if he can pray for me to get saved, I need to find out about this Jesus. And Tina said, I learned something that day. Tina said, we all have a part to play. And the nurses did their part. Austin did his part. And what our part is not that important. What's important is that we do our part, that we witness like we should. And so we just need to learn to accept it. Jesus wants to tell the doctor how to be saved, and he wouldn't listen to the nurses, so God had to send somebody he would listen to. And so there are people in this world who won't listen to a preacher, but they'll listen to you. Now, there's people who won't listen to you who will listen to somebody else. And what we have to do is do our part. Be faithful to do our part. That's what we have to do. And so that's the one of the blessings of one of the benefits of serving God is it's evidence of our salvation. Second thing, it makes our burdens lighter. It does. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So if we're busy serving God, you don't have as much time to sit around and mope and whine about all your problems. Amen? Man, if you're busy serving God, gossiping goes way down. And if you're busy serving God, you quit whining about some things. You know, there's people who complain about everything. There's going to be people walking in this building who are going to be critical of this building. They're going to find something they don't like about this building. And if I was in charge, I would have done it this way, okay? As Brother Riggs would say, when you're in charge and you build your own building, you do it that way, okay? But in the meantime, we've done the best we can. But there are people who are critical. This building is beautiful, it's gorgeous, and there's going to be people who find fault with it. And so we need to be busy, and it'll make our burdens lighter. We're to serve the Lord with gladness, and so we got to get the focus off ourselves and get the focus on other people, focusing on the Lord. Number three, one of the benefits of serving God is being like Christ. John chapter 13, verse 14 says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So if Jesus was willing to get down on his hands and knees and wash his disciples' feet, and they're covered in dirt and sand that's caked on and they're sweaty and hot, and if he's willing to do that, then maybe we should humble ourselves and get busy serving him. Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. It's fun if you'll put your heart into it and get excited about it and get a vision for the lost and get the focus off yourself. So many people are going to church today and it's all about me. Me, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? And what we need to do is you're never going to have fun in church if you keep that up. If you always, but it gets you, get the focus off yourself and get your focus on the Lord. Amen? So number four, one of the benefits of serving God is God sees what we're doing even when nobody else does. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Nobody else may see what you're doing. And you may say, "I, life is not fair. Brother so-and-so gets more recognition than I do, and I work a lot harder. Or sister so-and-so, she's getting patted on the back a lot more than I am, and I'm working a whole lot harder." God sees what you do. for him. And again, if people are doing it just to get public recognition, that's their reward, their only reward. Number five, one of the benefits of serving God, number five, is it brings joy. John chapter 4, verse 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, but he that soweth, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." You know what success is? Success is knowing God's will and get right in the middle of it. Success is knowing God's will for your life and get right in the middle of it and settle there and stay there. And you know, the happiest people on the planet may not be very rich. The happiest people on the planet may not have a lot of nice stuff. You go over in the Philippines, where those we are so blessed here in America, folks. We have so much. I heard about over in the Philippines, this man said he went over there on a mission trip, and he said that they went over there and they have these, where they live, they tack something up against the wall. Lean-tos, they'll tack maybe a refrigerator, a box of the refrigerator came in, or a piece of, if they can get a piece of tin or aluminum, man, that's luxury. And they'll tack it up against the wall, and a whole family will live under that. And if they just got food, if they just, when the day is over, if they can just go to sleep with food in their stomach, they're happy. We're not happy no matter what we get. We're never happy. The happiest people on the planet are those who found God's will for their life and they're right in the middle of it. And it may take you some time to accept God's will for your life. A lot of us fight it. A lot of us struggle with it. But when we finally come to grips with it, this is what God wants me to do. We come to grips with that and we settle in there. Then there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. First Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So other people may get credit sometimes, but that's not success. They can't succeed without somebody else's help. They cannot succeed without somebody else's help. They need people to help them. And so don't ever let that. And if you, again, we've got to, if you're serving God just for the credit, for the public recognition, for getting pat on the back, to look good, when that runs out, you're going to quit. You're going to quit. You're going to be one of those, "Well, I used to serve in the bus ministry. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to do this stuff." And you'll quit. Why? Because after a while, you're not going to get patted on the back enough to suit you. One of the benefits of serving God is it involves us in a cause greater than we are. Nehemiah chapter 6, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come and let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. And this is Nehemiah, and he says, "And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so they cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." And so when you're involved in God's work, it's something greater than we are, and there's nothing else on the earth that can compare with it. And we can impact lives for all eternity. There's going to be people in heaven, and what because of what this church does. We're going to reach people. And the church has been reaching people for years. Brother Steve, in his prayer, was talking about all the people who have been saved over the years. And we can reach people and we can fill heaven up with people because of what we do here. And that's the work of the ministry. And that's greater than anything else. One of the other benefits is of serving God is it benefits others. Proverbs 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And so we can cause others, we can set the example and lead the way and encourage others to follow us and serve the Lord. And so the question is, are you a blessing? Are you a blessing to the people around you? Do people consider it a blessing when you walk in the room? Or when you walk in the room, does all the oxygen pull out of the room? There's some people, they suck all the air out of the room when they walk in. Yeah, And so you'll be standing there talking to somebody, having a good time, and the door will open, and you'll see them, and you'll say, oh, no, here they come. And you know they're going to come up, and they've got a mission in life, and that's to ruin your day. And they'll bypass everybody else and make a beeline to come see you. Amen? Amen? Yeah, we know people like that. So some brighten the room, and some don't. So which one are you? Titus chapter 2 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know people watch us. Do you know that? When you say I'm a Christian, people watch you. And some people are going to criticize you, and you can never please them because they're just looking to criticize. But there are some people who are looking at you, and they want to see if you got something that they want. They want to see if you're real, if you're legit, and they want to see, is this Jesus thing really all it's cracked up to be? And they watch you to see how you react and how you do things. And God does not expect you and me to be perfect, because none of us are. But he does expect us to be humble and to be real and genuine. One of the benefits of serving God, lastly, is we receive rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Psalm 100, verse 2 again says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. If we were at a football game tonight, we'd be shouting, hooting, and hollering. Amen? If you were at a basketball game tonight, you and your team is winning, and you're blowing your team's blowing the other team out. Yeah. We'd be shouting. We need to come to God with gladness, with joy, and with a heart full of singing. I was listening on the radio, and you ever get, you're driving along, and you turn the radio on, and there's a station that comes in that you never comes in any other time. And I'm driving along, and this lady is on there, and she's giving her testimony. And she said, my husband was a drug dealer. And she said, I'd gotten so bad that I was now making drug runs for my husband, delivering dope. Somebody would call, and I would load the stuff up in the car and go sell it. And she said, my grandmother kept talking to me and praying for me and everything. But she said, one night I got high. I loaded up on some junk. And she said, I started to walk out of the room, and I fell and hit my head and got knocked out. She said, I was unconscious. When I woke up, there was blood all over me. I was covered in sweat. She said, I thought I was about to die. And then I remembered my praying grandmother. And I remember my grandmother prayed to a God up in heaven. And she said, I started praying to the God of my grandmother. And I said, God, if you really exist, please save me. And he did. He did. It took her a few days. She ended up in the hospital, I think, and took a few days then to get out. But a few days later, she found out how to accept Christ, and she prayed and asked Christ to save her. And she said, not only am I saved today, but my drug-dealing husband is now a Christian. So I called my grandmother to tell her, and she said this. I told her what happened and when it was, and she said, honey, I've been fasting and praying for a week that God would save you. And when you were in that there unconscious, laying on that floor, I was on my knees in my bedroom begging God to save you. Prayer changes things. Prayer works. I think we need to serve the Lord with gladness. I think we need to get excited about our salvation, get excited about our faith. And folks, we need to put some prayer and start praying for people more than what we are now. Like if you bow your head and close your eyes. I don't know how this study affects you. I do know I studied this up, and then and this testimony I gave of this woman just spoke to my heart last night. I was driving down the, Sunday night, I was just driving, taking some people home, and then on the way back home, my wife called and wanted me to go pick up something to eat, and I'm driving to get her something to eat. And I'm listening on the radio to this testimony of this young lady. Today, she's not a drug dealer anymore. She's not married to a drug dealer. Today, she's in church. She's not only giving her testimony, she's singing. She's using her talents. And you can tell there's a joy and an excitement in her that was just, she never understood before, but she understands it now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. When the piano starts playing, we're just going to ask you to come and talk to God. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart tonight, we're going to just ask you to come and kneel down here at this altar and talk to Him. Father, we ask you to bless your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would speak to every heart. We know that you love us. We know that you're real. And Father, we know that you've got a mission for all of us to fulfill. I just pray that you'd help us to recognize it. And Lord, that we would respond to your call in Jesus' name. Will you stand and come?